I want to talk today some more about the three faces of God. This is not the Christian Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Did that kind of scare you as a child? I was confused. I had Casper and I had the Holy Ghost. The three faces of God is an idea that comes from Ken Wilber. You know who he is, American philosopher and mystic. I am not, this is the caveat, I am not a student of Ken Wilber. I am not an expert. He makes my head explode. But every now and then I hear, usually from someone else, a Ken Wilber idea that I just love and grasp. So I talked about this a couple of months ago. I did a talk on our prayer for protection and whether God actually protects us. And I wanted to explore that further, mainly for myself, but also because Christmas is coming. Today is actually the first Sunday in Advent, and it's a season of preparation. What we prepare for and celebrate at Christmas is not just the birth of a baby Jesus. It's the birth or the dawning of Christ consciousness in us. Each of us was born divine. Each of us carries the Spirit of God as Jesus did. And I believe it's important any time of the year to know your concept of God. As seminary students, we spent the whole 2 years moving toward writing our individual credo so we would know what we believed, at least a snapshot of what we believed. They warned us that it would change over time, if we were lucky, because that would mean we were still growing. Turns out that means we're always wrestling, and you get to watch me do that every week. It's important for you to know your concept of God because everything else stems from that. How you pray, the way you think about yourself as a human being and other human beings, what you're expected to do with your life. It's the lens through which you see the world. And even people who have no concept of God or who actively disbelieve in God, that's their lens. So Ken Wilber clarified three primary ways to understand God. Have you ever read something and it's not just a light bulb. You were almost there yourself. In three or four more years, you'd have gotten this. But here it is. He's already written it. So Ken Wilber says, and this is what really struck me, that if we're not open to all three faces of God, we won't always recognize the divine when it shows up. We're cutting ourselves off from some of the ways God expresses. And I don't want to do that. I need all the God I can get. I want to be open to any possible way to see God. Then, too, some of you have challenged me politely, but every time I say God is not an old man in the sky, God is not a ruler and king on a throne, you politely point out that I also say God is all there is, everything is God. And you note that if everything is God, then there's really nothing God is not, is there, Ellen? Fine. So there are three faces, and this is based on English grammar, if you remember from eighth grade, first person, second person. First person is I, second person is you, third person is he, she, or it. So with God, first person is I am, God within. Second person is God as you. We hear this most often in prayer. We beseech you, O Lord. You're talking to something. It's a relationship. And then the third person is it, which is God as everything, one presence and one power. God is it. God is all there is. Ken Wilber says most religions pick one or two and reject the others. So I thought today we would talk about each one and see whether we can find a way to live into all three of them. And it's been done. Jesus lived into all three of them. So let's start with the Jesus model. Jesus spoke about God, to God, and as God. So there's the infinite God. This is third person. God who created the heavens and the earth. You have to wave your arms when you talk about this God. God as a force of love and intelligence and creative energy. God so magnificent we can't begin to imagine it. Third person, God as it. This is not a new idea. The Psalms say nature is filled with the glory of God. Long before any religious systems were developed, ancient people were in awe of a power and presence that they sensed and saw all around them and in the stars of the night sky, this infinite God. And then second person is the intimate God. This is the God most of us grew up with, a being we could talk to. And Jesus was so close to this being, he called it Abba, Daddy, Papa. Jesus slipped away regularly to pray, to commune intimately with God. He took his troubles to this God. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? The night before the crucifixion, Jesus was saying, "Do I really have to go through with this?" And then there's the inner God, the divine within us. At some point, Jesus realized who he was. And he reminded all of us, "You are gods," meaning our truest, deepest self is divine. It's our ultimate identity. So Jesus was able to say, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But he also said God was bigger than he was. It's that ocean water thing again. A drop or a handful of ocean water is still the ocean. It's just not the whole ocean. But it has the same qualities, just not all the power of the whole. So we are that part of God. Not the whole, but with all the qualities. So, infinite, intimate, and inner God. Third, second, and first person. God is it, all there is, the God we know and talk to, and the God within. There are different ways to experience the divine, and we can have them all. You'd think that would be good news. But different religions pick and choose and reject and argue and even start wars over which version of God they want to go with. There's a story told of a teacher in India who asked a group of children, "Where is God?" And the Christian children pointed to heaven. The Hindu children pointed to their hearts. And they were both right. But religious systems don't typically incorporate all three. Since our name is Unity, maybe we should at least try. There are pros and cons, however, to each face of God, and there has been a lot of argument through the centuries. The infinite God, third person, is the force. Now, people laugh at me when I say George Lucas had it right in Star Wars, but the force is also known as the ground of being, source energy, all that is, suchness, the Buddhists say. It's also principle, the law that Unity's founders talked about, God as principle. This God is not a being, not a supreme being, not any kind of object. It's more of a process, the evolutionary impulse, the creative urge. This is also called panentheism. If you're going to be in Unity, you need to know we are panentheists, which is not the same as pantheist. You can look up the difference. I think it is slight. But panentheism is the idea that God is part of everything and beyond everything. It's the universe and more. Third person is also oneness. This is the primary view of Buddhists. There's no deity. We just align with the oneness and well-being of the universe. So if there's an objection to this third person face of God as all creation, it's the existence of evil. Some people have trouble saying it's all God because they can see it's not all good. So does God create evil? Does God allow evil? Does evil actually have any reality? In this view, what happens in the world is up to us. We are God's hands and feet and voice. This God is not watching over us or reaching down to intervene in our lives. We have the power and responsibility to create our own lives using spiritual laws, using principles. This is the God you hear me talk about all the time, third person. And that's too impersonal for some people. They find it cold and it's jarring to hear God referred to as it. Some people feel very much alone with this view of God. God is an energy field, even if that field is love. It's transcendent and it's awe-inspiring, but it's not personally fulfilling for them. So we have the second person God, the intimate God, the personal relationship. This is the God of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. He walks with me and talks with me. And in some ways, that's a relief. But this is also the God we've had so much trouble with. The cultural, stereotyped view of God that many Christians have abandoned. Christians in exile, Spong calls them. It's the old man in the sky. Now, of course, the problem's not with God, it's with us. In our effort to conceive of God as something we can relate to personally, we make God too small. We lost the mystery and awe when we decided God actually cares which football team wins or whether someone drinks or dances. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit really is no longer enough to cover the great cosmic web of life that we've become aware of. Our consciousness expanded beyond our understanding of God. We needed a bigger house to live in. It became so uncomfortable that many of us just moved out altogether. We threw out the Bible and Jesus and even God as a being we could know because we didn't like the arbitrary, capricious, warlike, vengeful, judging God we'd been told about. And some people stop there. They give up entirely. They just stay outside the house and become atheists. Others of us have been trying to build a bigger house. Learned about God's other faces. We started investigating oneness. We've become enthralled by science and spirituality, metaphysics, evidence of God in the universe, as the universe. And we came to believe in our own divinity, God as us. But then the question started, well, where do I aim my prayers? Is God available to help me? Am I just down here on my own? Does anybody know what's going on down here? We don't really want to give up the intimate second person God because that's where we get the love. That's where we get guidance for our lives. That's where we are comforted in our pain. And we can have both. Cosmic mystery and intimacy. They're just two different faces. So think of it this way. We know that all people, all beings actually, are one. We're all connected. But we can still have a relationship with each other, with another person, I and thou. We connect across what only appears to be separation. And it's the same with God. We can know oneness and still have a relationship, one to one. This is the face of God the mystics saw. Rumi, Hafez, Julian of Norwich, the poets who called God beloved and wrote about God like a lover or a drinking buddy. You've read Rumi. It sounds like they're drinking buddies. Let me read you just one little Hafez poem. This is Hafez about approaching God. Throw away all your begging bowls at God's door, for I've heard the beloved prefers sweet, threatening shouts, something on the order of, "Hey, beloved, my heart is a raging volcano of love for you. You better start kissing me or else." Fourteenth century. Hafez was another Muslim about 100 years after Rumi. Now, that may not be what you're going for in an intimate relationship with God. But how do we nurture our own intimate relationship? Sometimes it's in prayer and meditation. Sometimes we encounter God in other people. Sometimes we're guided in books or movies or a quote you read on Facebook. When you look at someone you love, that's a face of God. When you feel that sense of peace amid the storm, that's the second person God. Those of us in Unity are not the only people who may have thrown out the baby with the bathwater in our efforts to expand our understanding of God. We didn't like the judgment and the certitude that we encountered among the people who insisted they walked and talked with God in relationship. So maybe we have overemphasized 1 and 3, God within and God as one presence and one power, because we didn't really know what to do with God in relationship anymore. But I think a lot of us miss that second person God, that personal communication with a higher power. That's where we surrender. That's where we express gratitude. That's where we're forgiven. Or rather, where we know divine love so that we can forgive ourselves. And this relationship can become so intimate that boundaries dissolve and we know ourselves as God. First person God, I am. You'll see that written in all caps, I am, because we're trying to say that our deepest true selves are God in expression. We are made in the image of God. It's not what most of us were told growing up. And I've read several books lately that they're written by spiritual writers. They're based on the premise of our divinity, but they're presented so cautiously because Christianity has been so adamant that there is a God and you're not it. So in these books, the authors just drag it out over chapters and they say, I would just invite you to consider that maybe at some level you are divine, because it says right here in the Bible, made in the image and likeness of God. And I'm thinking, is this idea really so radical? But if you were brought up on, you were born a sinner and you're a worm of the dust, this might be a big leap for you. And on the flip side, our ego loves being divine. Hey, look at me, I am God. And then the other part of us cringes and says, ooh, no, that's blasphemy. So our own divinity is a very old idea, at least as old as Jesus. It's taught by the Eastern Orthodox Church. They were the original Christians. And they say our future is realization of our divine self, deification, becoming God. And Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said the same thing. He called it spiritualization, that's what we're going for. And even the Apostle Paul, who said many things wrong, wrote about the Christ within. He said it's where we live and move and have our being. It's tremendously humbling to contemplate the idea that we are here on earth expressing God. Without the false humility of being a sinner or a worm, and without the grandiosity of ego, we're part of that ocean of creative energy. We arise from the ground of all being in our human form. Now, you might say, I don't really feel divine. But remember Jesus in the wilderness, hungry and tempted. Jesus turned over tables in the temple. He sweated blood at Gethsemane, and he was divine. He called himself the Son of Man to make a point that he was one of us. It meant, I'm just human. But he showed us how magnificent it is to be human, who we truly are and what we can do. And we renew that awareness every Christmas. So, third person, the infinite cosmic God of creation and the universe, the transcendent energy of all that is. Second person is the intimate God of relationship, the beloved Abba, God of love. And first person is the inner God, the I am, the Christ of our being. Infinite, intimate, inner. There's a wonderful book about this by Paul Smith, who is a Baptist minister in Kansas City. Progressive Baptist. Actually, his church was kicked out of the Southern Baptist a few years ago. And, you know, Unity's world headquarters is also in Kansas City. So Paul Smith is a great friend of Unity. He's also a student of Ken Wilber, and he wrote a book called Integral Spirituality about exactly this, about our changing views of God, how we need to change, and what that means for the Christian church. Paul Smith wonders whether it's possible to incorporate all three faces of God into one belief system because, he says, no religious tradition has ever done it. But they practice it in his church, Broadway Baptist, and it goes like this. Infinite God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you are with us always. We are the light of the world. You want to try it? You want to stand up? We actually have a slide for this. Okay. Infinite God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you are always with us. We are the light of the world. Infinite, intimate, inner. Let's take these thoughts into meditation. Meditation actually connects with all three faces of God, doesn't it? We immerse ourselves in infinite being. We become aware of that connection. And we know ourselves to be the divine in expression. And so we may choose on different days to focus on different aspects. One may resonate more deeply than another at different times in our lives. But all three faces of God are open and available and smiling at us. And so we expand our minds to the infinite. We immerse ourselves in pure being. Knowing that we are part of the divine cosmos. And as human beings having spiritual beings having a human experience, we have available to us all the attributes of God: wisdom, guidance, love, order. We're not alone. We're guided and connected, loved and forgiven, and we surrender to that knowing of why we are here and what is ours to do. And we surrender to the higher self, the inner being, the divine within, that part of God that is us, that has taken human form for a little while. Many, many parts of God are on this planet. And we are all part of that whole. We come full circle back to the infinite. And it is with these different aspects of the divine that we can be assured all is well. And so it is. Amen. Hallelujah.